Amen. I love that song because of the truth of it, that we can't get by without the power of God in our lives. And you know, particularly when we come to the Christmas season, as we begin the Advent walk here toward the birth of Christ. And this year we get to celebrate Christmas Sunday, Christmas on Sunday. Christmas Day is on a Sunday, so I'm pumped about that. But it's a constant reminder of the power of God, the amazing power of God. Without God, we're sunk. Amen. So turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Christmas time, of course, is a very special time of the year. You think about all the traditions, and I don't know, every one of your families, you have your own little family traditions, different nuances to the bigger traditions that you probably participate in from the culture. But when you think about the traditions surrounding our celebration of the birth of Christ, they developed over many years, some of them over many centuries. You think about like the evergreen trees, the Christmas tree, the presents with pretty paper and bows there under that tree. You think about the carols that we sing and the lights that we string. It is not just a special time of year. It's a beautiful time of year. And the beauty of Christmas points us to the beauty of Christ. So this morning we're going to begin our Christmas series called Unwrapping Christmas. And each week we're going to focus on an aspect of Christmas traditions that point you and me to the true reason for the season, the birth of Jesus Christ. If Christ is not the center of your Christmas, you're not celebrating Christmas. And so today we're going to start with lights, the strings of light. Now, undoubtedly, there are some bah humbugs, about bah humbug, you might hear them say, they're among us. And for the most part, I bet, though, that even the bah humbugs have to smile just a little, when they see a dazzling display of Christmas lights. Now, for many of us, for you and for me, when we think of Christmas lights, we can't help but think about this light display at the Griswold house. Check out this quick clip. Now that is a man that loves to get in the cultural Christmas spirit, amen? According to Clark W. Griswold, that was 250 strands of lights, 100 individual bulbs per strand for a grand total of 25,000 imported Italian twinkle lights, as he said in the movie. Now maybe your light display is a bit more subtle than that. Maybe your Christmas lights are only wrapped around your Christmas tree, but there is nothing like seeing the twinkle of Christmas lights in the midst of a blanket of darkness for our hearts to say, wow, would you look at that? And every one of these lights, they are a beautiful reminder that Jesus Christ came to this earth to bring light into darkness. Our text this morning, John chapter 1, helps you and me to realize that, helps us to understand that, to bring it home theologically, that we could practically worship in that truth, all right? So if you would, I'm going to invite you to stand this morning for the reading of God's word. We're going to read John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. Then we're going to skip to verse 9 and then read verse 14. So the word of God says this: in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now skip down to verse 9 with me. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Now to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Would you pray with me? Father, as we open your word today, we ask that you would enlighten our souls and our minds today. God, we want to understand you rightly. God, we want to help not only to take in that light, but we want you to help us, Father, to shine that light out into this dark world. As Father, we rest in you, asking you to move in our hearts today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to grab your seat there. Now, as you and I think about the strings of light at Christmas, we first have to understand this, that we live in a dark world. The world is a dark place, right? That's the whole context here in John chapter 1. Look at verse 5. He says, the light shines in the darkness. Darkness is a reality, right? For you and me to understand the light and to appreciate the light, we have to understand the darkness. Now, I'm not talking about physical darkness here, although much of the world probably is still in physical darkness when you think about third world countries. But I'm talking here about physical darkness, spiritual darkness. That's what I'm talking about. The hearts of darkness, lies of darkness, sin is darkness. And humanity, as you and I well know, is bent toward sin and darkness. It's ubiquitous. It's everywhere, isn't it? It's the human condition in this fallen age. Scripture helps you and me to understand this, to help us understand where darkness comes from. So for instance, Romans 5:12 lays the groundwork from where all this darkness, this spiritual darkness comes from. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, that's Adam, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. You see these companions here, these evil companions in one sense, okay? You've got sin and death and darkness walking hand in hand, marching and spreading across the world. As sin spreads, darkness spreads too. Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were what, church? Darkened. They were darkened. Ephesians 4:17 through 19. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Guys, that's what humanity naturally is. That's what you and I are by nature. We are naturally wicked. We are naturally dark. And therefore, you and I naturally grope about in deep darkness. Proverbs 4:19. It says, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. And because of that, because humanity runs into the darkness and wants more darkness, Isaiah 8:22, God brings about what we want. You know, oftentimes, God, you think about that? God gives us what we want, and sometimes it's give me more darkness, and sometimes he gives us exactly what we want. Isaiah 8:22, and they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they'll be thrust into thick darkness. Beloved, this world is a very dark place. For instance, God said, you shall not murder. Just think about this for just a moment. God said, you shall not murder, but the most recent crime statistics tell us that nearly 500,000 people are murdered everywhere, somewhere in the world. Every day, every year, 500,000 people every year are murdered somewhere in the world. That's nearly a person every minute. And that's just the ones that they get reported, right? Those are just the ones that get captured in the statistics. The number is likely very higher, very much higher. The world is a dark place. Other statistics tell us, think about this one, 50 million babies will be aborted this year. That's nearly 100 babies being killed in their mother's womb every minute. 100 babies every 60 seconds. This world is a very dark place. God said, for instance, again, let there be no gods before me. You shall have no gods before me. Yet, think about this. Yet, 5.3 billion people on planet Earth, that's 68% of the world's population, they publicly profess to not follow Jesus. They worship false gods, or they worship no god at all, in essence worshiping themselves. But think about that other group, the 2.2 billion that live on this planet, and they claim to follow Christ. That group, I'm sad to say, is probably made up of many false converts or those who are following a false gospel that's pretending to be Christianity. You see, church, not everything that claims to be Christianity is true Christianity. Amen? The world is a dark place, and these statistics, I mean, they're just the tip of the iceberg, aren't they? I mean, I could go on and on, right? Proving the darkness in the world. I could point to sexual immorality, slavery, theft, lying, gossip, greed, covetousness. I mean, 1,000 things. I could go on and on here. John 1:5 reminds us the light shines in the darkness, and there is much darkness in this world for the light to shine in too. But second this morning, as we think about the strings of light here at Christmas, we must realize that Jesus' life is light. Yeah, there's darkness, but Jesus is shining like a beacon, flooding the earth with light. Let's look here at our text again, John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And here it is, church. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. Now, here in the beginning of John 1, the author here, John himself, the Apostle John, is using the word here to speak of Jesus. And we learn here quickly that Jesus has always been, that Jesus is the second person of the triune God, that Jesus is indeed God. Everything that exists was created through Jesus. And then most importantly for our topic today, our thoughts for today, in him is life. And notice what this life is. Verse 4, in Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. That means, brothers and sisters, that Jesus' life is light. He came to erase the darkness. That's exactly what he told us in John 12:46. Jesus said, I came into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. He came to deliver us from darkness. As you all know from your own experiences, light saves us from darkness. And we've experienced that in big and small ways in our life. But Jim Lovell, it became a matter of life or death for him, February 1954. Jim Lovell, who went on to be an astronaut with Apollo 13, he at that point was just a Navy pilot. He was sent out on a night training mission from an aircraft carrier off the coast of Japan. And while he was taking off in stormy weather, everything went wrong. His directional finder malfunctioned. He mistakenly headed in the wrong direction. To make matters worse, his instrument panel suddenly began to malfunction. And soon, there was no light whatsoever. None of his instrument panels or anything there in his plane. And he had no idea where he was going. It was dark all around him. He looked around and he could see absolutely nothing. The blackness outside the plane had come inside the plane and darkness engulfed him. Now he was about to despair, but at that point he looked down and he saw there in the ocean a faint blue-green glow that was trailing along the ocean's black depths there. And his training, it had prepared him for this moment. He knew in an instant what he was seeing. He was seeing a cloud of phosphorescent algae. I mean, God put lights in the ocean, guys. And it basically what had happened, it had been stirred up as the aircraft carrier had gone through there. The engines had churned the water and had brought the light to the surface. Literally, he had a trail of light back to this aircraft carrier. And that's exactly what he did. He followed it. He knew that's what he had to do. And Jim's life was saved by light. A billion tiny lights floating in the ocean. Now, think about this for just a moment. If a billion microscopic lights can bring you to safety in the darkness, how much more can Jesus, who is the light of the world, save this world from darkness? Amen? John 1:9. Look at this here. John 1:9, and then we'll go to verse 14. The true light, that's Jesus, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Go to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Church, this is what Christmas is all about. The Word of God, who's the light of life, has come after us. Jesus has come after us in our darkness by becoming flesh and dwelling among us. John here in verse 14 basically says what Hank Williams Sr. said about 70 years ago. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. That's basically what he says. Jesus is a light breaking in to our darkness. And so Jesus declared about himself in John 8:12. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Therefore, beloved, this morning, to know Jesus, to follow Jesus, is to be in the light and to escape the darkness. Every single one of us needs that this morning. If you've walked in these doors this morning and you're in darkness, you've never repented of your sin and believed on Jesus, today is the day I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, come. Come to the light. Receive life. Receive light. Some of you, you're in the light, and you keep trying to dabble in the darkness. You keep playing around with the darkness. It's time to get away with it, right? Walk in the light as you are in the light. But once you have the light of Jesus in your life, guess what you've got to start doing? You've got to start working to string that light all over the world. This world is a dark place, but Jesus' life is light. Finally, this morning, as we think about strings of light, we have to realize that darkness cannot stop light. Look back at verse 5, John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What that means, guys, is that light will always be triumphant over darkness. Darkness cannot win. Darkness cannot stand in the light. It simply has to either retreat or try to stomp out the light. And yeah, there's going to be people who will do that very thing. There are those, according to Scripture, that love darkness more than light. For instance, John 3:19. Here's what Jesus told us. John 3:19. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. That's what it means right there, guys. To love darkness more than light, right? You retreat, you get away, you don't want to get in the light. There's a website. I'm not going to tell you the URL. I'm not even sure what the URL is. But there's a website out there that encourages people to sort of share their experiences by answering these different questions. It's basically like a chat room. So for instance, they might answer like, what does loneliness feel like to you? Or the question might be thrown out there, who do you want to spend time with? Or what is your favorite pastime? But one time somebody threw out this. They were asked to respond to this following statement. I prefer darkness over light. And there was a young woman on that chat room whose screen name was Beyond Repair. That was her screen name. Beyond Repair, and she offered an honest, insightful response. Here's what she said. She said, I prefer darkness over light. The darkness allows me to hide who I am and what I truly feel. In light, all things have a chance to be revealed. Darkness makes it easier to hide. In the dark, you can't see what's coming next. The darkness is a place where you can lose yourself. Lost in the darkness is a great place to be, because then you're free from what you were and can be what you want. The darkness is bliss. But beloved, you and I know that the darkness is not bliss. The darkness is death. And although that young lady, she can run and hide from the light and she can try to stomp out the light, darkness cannot stop the light. One day, when Jesus returns, and he combines heaven with earth, the earth will be filled with light. God reveals this to us in Revelation 22, verse 5. And night will be no more. There will be no need. They will need no light of lamp or sun. Notice this. For the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The light of God will shine in victory over darkness. And guys, here's the deal. You and I, we get to be a part of this. We get to play a part in shining this light in the darkness. We get to be a part of pushing back the darkness until Jesus returns. So how do we do that? This is this morning's takeaway. This morning's takeaway is give. Give to shine the light of Jesus to the darkest corners of the world. Give. Now, what can you give? First, you can give prayers, right? Do you believe in the power of prayer? Then pray and ask God that the darkness would be overcome, that light would shine, and people would come to know Jesus Christ. Your prayer is important, and I pray that you would give your prayers. Secondly, you can give yourself to personally sharing the light, right? You're a light bearer. Every one of us who are followers of Jesus, right? We've been given the gospel, and we're supposed to share the gospel with others, whether that's at home right here, your neighbor next door, your coworker, your classmate, whoever that is, you've been called to share that light, to give of yourself, to share that light, or maybe it's abroad, right? Pastor Mark just put together a video, and we're not going to watch it this morning, but he just put together a video for our One Church celebration service that we celebrated earlier this month. And it was amazing to see all the places around the world where Eastwood Baptist Church sent out teams to foreign lands to take the light. And that's the reason they went. I mean, it's not a touristy trip. If it is for anybody, they're going for the wrong reasons. They went to shine light. But here's the final way that I want to encourage you to think about giving, guys, and that is to give of your finances to finance missionaries, bearers of light all over the world. Guys, this morning I have a very pointed message because I want to prepare your heart for something that's coming up in 2 weeks. Coming up in 2 weeks, we here at Eastwood Baptist Church, we're not ashamed of being in cooperation with the Southern Baptist Convention. In fact, we're thrilled to be a part of that. We are convinced that we can do more together for the sake of the gospel around the world. And one of the ways that we do this is through our International Mission Board, which strategizes, which sends missionaries all over the world, that we get the chance to strategize and support, to push back. They've been placed in the deepest darkness in the world, and we've strategically placed them there. Every Christmas, one of the ways that you and I, we celebrate the incarnation of Jesus is to take up an offering for international missions. I invite you here for just a moment to listen to this video from our International Mission Board president, David Platt, and he'll explain to you exactly what this is all about.
The Great Commission is a command from Jesus to all of us to go and make disciples of all nations, which means all of us, through our praying, our giving, our going, together, we all have a part to play in seeing the gospel spread to the ends of the earth.
Well, within that first year of planting our church, before we were really ready to do an overseas trip, we knew we wanted to go. When a particular team goes, I mean, the whole church feels like we're all going. We're going with them. This is what we do as sent ones.
It's just a privilege to be able to be sent.
I think about all of the people who've invested in us. We stand on the shoulders thousands and thousands and thousands of people who've gone before us.
I have the privilege of really shepherding my children's hearts. We want them to not only hear about missions, we want them to understand it the way God wants us to. You share with those around you, you share with those in America, and then you share around the world.
We get up at 6 and we pray for the missionaries.
I don't think there's anything quite as powerful to me as someone coming up to me and say, I prayed for you, or I'm praying for you.
And you see all the hurt in the world, you see the needs, you see what you have, and you're able to help other people. We want to give, even though we're small, even when we don't want to, even when we feel like it's hard, we want to show the love of Christ and lavishly give grace and things that we can give as he's given it to us.
It's not, you know, all about what I can get out of it. It's about God's love for me and how that changes my heart to share that with everyone else that I meet. And so it's kind of changed the way that I do my business.
So I see these two groups at work. You've got a group of churches who are praying and giving and sending out missionaries, and a group of missionaries then who are spreading the gospel in some of the hardest, most difficult, dangerous to reach places and peoples in the world. And together, there's a unity there that is resounding to the glory of God.
So you and I get to be a part of this.
In partnership with you, the IMB sends and supports missionaries all over the world. And the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering is a critical part of that support. 100% of gifts that you give to the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering go directly to missionaries who are spreading the gospel among the nations.
So in 2 Sundays, we'll have a place set up right here. We'll have a manger set up on either side, and we'll get a chance to march to the manger. And so I begin to ask you now, would you begin to pray about what God would have you to give? Yeah, talk with your spouse, check your bank account and all that stuff, yes. But most importantly, ask God. God, what would you have me to give to the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering this year to help push back the darkness by spreading light, by financing the spread of light? Now, the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering, we call it the March to the Manger here. Lottie Moon was a missionary to China. She was a pioneer missionary to China over a century ago, and we name this offering in her honor. Now, let me just reiterate what David Platt said. Every penny you give will be sent to the International Mission Board. Zero, not one penny will be kept by Eastwood Baptist Church. Not one penny will be kept by the Kentucky Baptist Convention. Not one penny will be kept by the Southern Baptist Convention. Every penny you give will go directly to support and to finance world missions through the International Mission Board. And so again, I pray you would seek the Lord as to what you would give. And you know what I pray? I pray along with that, that he would tell you to be sacrificial and to be generous, because it's that serious and it's that important. Those who die in darkness will be condemned for their darkness and then experience the place where there is no light, where it's only darkness and the flame of fire forevermore. We have a church, we as a church, we have set a goal of $75,000. And if I know Eastwood Baptist Church, we will exceed that. We will exceed that. We should have no trouble as a church reaching that goal. You say, but Pastor Ben, I'm just one light. But think about this. You are one light in a humongous strand of lights. Right? Strands upon strands, all connected around the world, shining light connected to Jesus Christ, who is the light of life. And together with the light of Jesus, we pray, we give, we go to light this dark world. So here's my final prayer. May the world be filled with the light of Jesus.